From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Well, we're closing on one full day into the second term of Governor J.B. Pritzker. And as you know, if you tuned in yesterday, he and other statewide elected officials took their oaths of office at a convention center in downtown Springfield. In their speeches, several of the officials chose to focus on the topic of gun violence. Top of mind, of course, was the Highland Park shooting on Independence Day last year. But as Attorney General Kwame Raoul noted, that was far from Illinois' only mass murder at gunpoint.
As I reflect on the Highland Park shooting, I can't help but reflect on the two other mass shootings that took place mere weeks later. One mass shooting was in Washington Park on the south side of Chicago, a block away from where I raised my children. The other in Garfield Park on Chicago's west side. Neither of those mass shootings received the same level of media attention as Highland Park. As a matter of fact, it wasn't really until recently we started referring to such shootings as mass shootings. All because of where they occurred. We all need to look in the mirror and ask why that is the case.
I mention all this because it provides important context for what was happening six blocks away from that convention center in the state capitol building. There, Democratic lawmakers came to an agreement on imposing a ban on new sales of what they call assault weapons. And that was just one of several hot-button topics lawmakers were dealing with in a furious burst of lawmaking in the past week or so. This is what's informally called a lame duck session, the idea being that some lawmakers will be ending their political careers and so might be willing to vote for legislation that would otherwise be considered too politically costly. Past lame duck sessions have seen everything from tax increases to the abolition of the death penalty in Illinois. Joining us to talk about what's been happening in your state government during this lame duck session are two reporters who've been following it closely. Mawa Iqbal is State House reporter for public radio stations across Illinois, based in Springfield but working for WBEZ in Chicago. Mawa, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Also with us is Dan Petrella, who covers state government for the Chicago Tribune. Dan, welcome back. Good to talk with you again.
Good to be here, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Listeners, as ever, you're welcome to join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. As you hear about what Illinois lawmakers have been working on in the past week or so, we'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Or if you have any questions for our guests, again, 800-222-9455. So, Dan, let's talk about this deal reached on restrictions on firearms, what Democrats call assault weapons. What is in the apparently final version of this legislation?
So one of the major sticking points 24 hours earlier had been whether or not people who own already the one of these weapons that is on this pretty extensive list that would be banned if Governor Pritzker signed it into law, whether those folks would have to notify state police of the serial numbers of those weapons. The House passed a version that had that. The Senate took it out in an early version, then put it back in. So that's one thing. Basically, there's a long list of various types of rifles and shotguns and other weapons that are deemed to be, in the words of the legislation, assault weapons. There's also a ban on devices that increase the speed of firing of weapons. There is a ban on magazines above a certain capacity. And there's also an extension of the firearm restraining order that people can use, go to court to get an order to take guns out of the hands of potentially dangerous people. Those are just a few of the highlights of what's in the agreed deal.
And let's be clear then. So you mentioned this back and forth about whether existing owners of these types of firearms would have to report them to the state police. What does this mean for existing gun owners in Illinois, Dan?
People who already own the weapons that would be banned once the law goes into effect will be able to keep them. They will have to get what supporters are calling an endorsement on their firearm owner's identification card, which would involve letting state police know which exactly of these weapons they have. So, to be very clear, no one is going to be coming and taking away guns from people who already own them. The idea is that the future sale, manufacture, possession of those weapons would be prohibited.
So possession. So you couldn't just go to Indiana and buy one and bring it back to Illinois, it sounds
correct.
Like. Okay. Mawa, I want to talk about how Illinois got to this point. I mentioned in the introduction the Independence Day parade last year in Highland Park. And of course, that's where 7 people were killed. Dozens more were injured in a mass shooting. There was some quite emotional testimony on Highland Park in a Senate committee hearing yesterday. We're going to hear a clip now from a woman named Ashby Beasley, who was at the parade with her son. She shared audio from an acquaintance of hers who was also at the parade, and what that woman's child sounded like as they were fleeing the attack. I want to warn listeners, this is unpleasant to listen to say the least, but let's hear this clip. This is what was played at a Senate hearing yesterday.
When I heard this, it broke me, because to know that another child in our community had the same reaction, and likely not just him, but likely 10, 100, 200 children had the same reaction, was just too much for me. This is why we have to ban assault weapons.
Mawa, talk about what that moment was like.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, really hard to listen to. So Ashby Beasley, she was someone who attended the Highland Park Parade. She was with her son, and they thankfully weren't wounded or anything. But she does describe, you know, just those moments, right, when they heard gunfire and they're running away. She said that at one point she looked down and she saw her son just stop moving, because he was just paralyzed with fear. And so she's been testifying, you know, and in Congress. She's been to D.C. to testify in support of an assault weapons ban. She's been at the Illinois State House in Springfield. And basically, she's trying to show that, you know, this is what can happen, kind of like sort of the long-term effects of people who have to endure such traumatic events. I was just talking to her yesterday, and she said that her son, who's only 6 years old, still has to go to therapy. He immediately after the event was suffering from nightmares and from vomiting and wearing his clothes inside out. So it's just like one of those things that, you know, she wanted to kind of show members of the Senate that, you know, this is something that this is, I guess, kind of the consequence, one of the more serious consequences of allowing these weapons to be so easily accessible.
Mm. Dan, I wonder what, to the best of your understanding, would the provisions in the negotiated version of this legislation, would they have prevented the alleged perpetrator of the Independence Day shooting in Highland Park from obtaining the weapons he did?
I guess it depends on how you look at the timeline of events. If this had been in effect long enough before that event for the sale of that weapon to no longer be allowed, then yes, potentially it could. You know, there is the case that opponents of this have made that Highland Park had its own ban on these type of weapons, and it didn't stop him from getting one someplace else nearby and bringing it to the town. But, you know, Illinois lawmakers can only control what happens within the borders of Illinois. So as much as some of them may want to have them banned at the, you know, federal level, they can't control what happens in other states, but they can outlaw them here in Illinois and make it that much harder for someone to go to Indiana or Wisconsin and get one of these weapons and use it in such a horrific way.
Mm-hmm. Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the legislative session that's been happening for almost a week now in Springfield. It's a lame duck session where lawmakers who are a good number of them are on their way out. They're retiring, or they lost re-election or ran for other offices. And the thought is maybe they're more likely to vote for something that would have been politically impalatable or not palatable to them previously. We're talking about this with Dan Petrella, who covers state government for the Chicago Tribune, and Mawa Iqbal, State House reporter at WBEZ in Chicago Public Radio. And 800-222-9455 is the number if you want to join our conversation. I want to talk a little about the Republican reaction to this negotiated legislation, which, again, hasn't fully passed and been signed into law, but all the key players, Democrats, have majorities in the House and Senate. They all say they're on board, as does the governor. The legislation passed the Senate, I understand, on a vote of 34 to 20. Mawa, I want to play a little another clip. This is Senator Darren Bailey, who, of course, was last year the Republican nominee for governor. Here's what he had to say.
You've got to know that the actions that you're taking right now are tyrannous, as my colleague Senator Bryant suggested. You also must know that I and millions of other gun owners in this state will not comply. And I fully expect and anticipate that our court will uphold this action and protect the rights of everyone in this country and everyone in this state.
So, Mawa, are you anticipating a court fight over this law based on what was said in the General Assembly?
Yeah, I mean, Senator Neil Anderson from the Quad Cities, he kind of said something like that yesterday during the floor debate. He was saying that, you know, we will issue a stay similar to what has been happening with the Safety Act, which would eliminate cash bail or would have eliminated cash bail at the beginning of this year. They were expecting to challenge this in court because the crux of their arguments from Republicans on the floor last night was just that this is, you know, a clear violation of people's Second Amendment constitutional rights. And that, you know, this is something that, yeah, that they'll won't comply with. I think Darren Bailey this morning tweeted something. I have it right here. It says, "I'll die on my front porch before anyone takes my guns away. My message to Springfield, if you want my guns, come get them." So it was really, I mean, it was pretty fierce from Republicans on the floor. They you know, talked about, right, like challenging it in court, also just not complying. But it was interesting because at least in the committee hearing earlier that morning, much of the concerns from Republican senators were just, you know, regarding hunting. And so I think Senator Terry Bryant brought up that, you know, this would... sort of like attack people who want to use semi-automatic rifles for hunting. And so that was something that in a later amendment, a later revision filed later that evening, Senator Harman put in, you know, provisions to help protect people who, if they possess a weapon used for hunting, that's up to the standard for the Wildlife Code, then that's permissible. So, but yeah, it definitely got a lot more, I guess, fierce in on the floor than it was in the committee.
Yeah. And in response to what you mentioned from Senator Bailey about come and take them. Again, no one is taking existing firearm owners as long, presumably as long as they comply with the law,
yeah,
if the courts uphold it. Okay. Let's move on to some of the other topics that were, well, actually on this point, Dan, I do wanted to ask is what was left out of this bill, right? Was there something on the Democratic wish list you were aware of going into these negotiations that ultimately had to be cut?
There were, you know, one of the major things was that they initially, in a proposal filed by Representative Bob Morgan of Deerfield in the House, who was actually marching in the parade when the shooting occurred in Highland Park, they wanted to raise the age for anyone to get a firearm owner's identification card to 21. Currently, if you're under 21, you can get one with the permission of parent or guardian, which is actually how the alleged Highland Park shooter obtained his FOID card. That did not make it through into the final deal. The age, you know, people 18 and older will still be able to get those with parental permission.
Parental permission. Okay. So some of the other big topics that were considered this lame duck session, or are being considered perhaps still, is abortion and reproductive health care. Mawa, what is the status? And I should warn you, we have to take a break in about 2 minutes. But what is the status of what has been happening with that legislation?
So there's two versions that have been filed. There was a version of the House filed by Representative Kelly Cassidy that just needs a concurrence vote from the Senate before it heads to the governor. But then there is a Senate version that was filed by Senator Villanueva that needs to get a third reading from the Senate and then also go back to the House for a concurrent vote and then go to the governor. So there's still some steps that that second version needs to take, but it seems like lawmakers are really trying to iron out those details today with that Senate version. So,
and what would these bills do in about a minute?
So the long short of it is that basically they would offer protections for providers coming in from states where abortion is restricted or fully restricted to come to Illinois and practice here. And so, let's say you have someone from Missouri coming into Illinois to practice, Missouri can't take legal action against that provider for practicing in Illinois. So it kind of shields them. Also provides that insurance coverage for gender affirming care, abortion medication, and a lot of medication associated with HIV and AIDS.
At no cost to the patient, right? That would be a big deal, particularly for things like gender affirming medications like hormones. Those can be expensive.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. We're going to take a break. We're going to continue our conversation on what's been happening in your state government in the General Assembly in the past week or so. A brand new General Assembly is going to be sworn in tomorrow on Wednesday, and all the sort of legislation that's been out there will reset to zero. Not saying that they can't pass something major quickly, but it usually tends to slow down into a more deliberate pace after the new General Assembly is sworn in. So we're going to continue talking about this with Moa Iqbal of WBEZ and Dan Petrella of the Chicago Tribune. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about Illinois state government, specifically the lame duck session that's been taking place in Springfield since last week. We're talking about this with Dan Petrella of the Chicago Tribune and Moa Iqbal, who covers the State House for public radio stations across Illinois. And Dan, one of the other big pieces of legislation that's been getting a lot of raised eyebrows in the last few days is a big pay rise for lawmakers and cabinet officials. What are the specifics there?
Yes. So my understanding of how this situation sort of progressed at the State House is Governor Pritzker was looking for pay raises for the agency heads that he appoints as he heads into his second term, trying to attract good people to those positions to be competitive with other states, and kind of making pay comparable to what people in similar positions are paid elsewhere around the country. And that sort of progressed as things do at the State House to include also pay raises for the governor himself, although Governor Pritzker doesn't take a salary, and the other statewide elected officials, also a pay raise for the new set of lawmakers who will be sworn in tomorrow. So lawmakers are getting about a 17% pay raise up to $85,000 a year. And of course, that always, makes people raise an eyebrow, as you said, when lawmakers are voting to approve their own pay. Although they had to do it before Pritzker was sworn in for his second term yesterday, because they're not allowed to raise their own pay in a current term. So it was one of his final actions in his first term was to give everybody a raise.
Look, and I will say, I'm not somebody who is generally thinks that you should have to work for poverty wages, because then you only end up getting like rich people, right? Bankers and real estate people and lawyers who all have second jobs or can take time off from their jobs to be in the General Assembly. But Mawa, what were some of the arguments you heard for and against this as lawmakers were debating this? I'm sure there was plenty of vociferous opposition.
Yeah, I mean, as far as arguments for, of course, this would hopefully attract more diverse talent. So like you mentioned, people who may not come from, very high paying backgrounds. But a lot of the opposition from Republican lawmakers was just, why give pay raises in the first place? Like, why not have them be determined more by merit or by performance? And if we're giving pay raises to lawmakers, why don't we do that to other lower paid state workers like teachers, for example? So I think Darren Bailey was one of the main Senator Darren Bailey was one of the main advocates or opponents of this bill. So he was saying that, basically we shouldn't be giving lawmakers a pay raise and kind of sort of went after Sims on the sort of this idea of like, I think he said something like, do you think, that we don't have a diverse or a talented enough group already, sort of thing. So it did get pretty heated as well.
Sure.
But yeah.
Interesting. You know, Dan, as far as you know, we haven't talked about this in a while, but is the governor still doubling effectively the salaries of his deputy governors and top aides, press secretary, chief of staff, that type of thing?
Yes, he is. Yeah, he's been doing that since he took office, and he will continue to do that in the new term. He uses a limited liability corporation to pay, like you said, double salary to some of those top people. Can't remember exactly off the top of my head how many there are. I think it's about a dozen or so. They have to sign an agreement saying that, you know, their fiduciary and first responsibility is to the state of Illinois. But I think it does, again, raise some eyebrows of people about where those loyalties lie.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time back when I was a State House reporter still trying to understand state ethics law and exactly how this was permissible. And the best I found was a PowerPoint that sort of said you may not be paid by somebody else for the work you do for the state. But I couldn't actually find that language in statute. So just something I do like to mention from time to time, since we all talked about it 4 years ago when it first happened, and then we don't talk about it very much since then.
You know, and I will add on the on the lawmaker issue, you know, it will be interesting to see how many of the Republican lawmakers who will be sworn in on Wednesday happily collect that new higher salary. I have a feeling it will probably be the vast majority of them. So just something
to keep an eye on. Giving it back or something like that, right? If they don't want.
Yeah, I think they have to take. I think maybe they can. I could be wrong about this. I don't think they can refuse to take it, but I think they could donate it to charity or something.
Right. Okay. Yeah, always plenty of opportunities, I know, when I file my state income taxes to give money to various funds when you're doing that. So, all right, last questions. Any big ticket items that lawmakers had wanted to address during this lame duck session, but now it's going to have to wait for later this year? Mawa, I'll start with you on that.
I think, honestly, the big ticket items were these two, that at least that was kind of the rumblings that I heard before the lame duck session started. I guess we'll just have to see, you know, where they get on the abortion package today, since that's going to be the big goal for the Senate today, at least, is just to try to iron out those final details. But yeah, I can't really think of anything else. I don't know if, Dan, you heard anything else?
No, heading in, I mean, abortion and assault weapons are really the two big issues that everyone was talking about. And I think it's, you know, we've seen this a few times now where it seems like the governor and the House Speaker are in one corner on an issue and the Senate is kind of close, but not quite in the same spot. And it seems like maybe there's a fight brewing and then they somehow manage to work it out and get it done.
Always happens in the end. Dan, where is focus going to turn now as the new legislature comes in? What's going to be our big stories we're following in this spring session?
Well, you know, I was hoping to have a better sense of that after the governor's speech yesterday, and he really didn't say much that we haven't heard before. He really, you know, talked about wanting to do big things in his second term and talked a little bit about access to preschool, which is something we've heard a lot about going back to Rod Blagojevich, if not before. And then this idea of giving free college tuition to people who earn at or below median income, something that he's been talking about since he launched his reelection campaign, but still hasn't put a price tag on. So those will come, I'm sure we'll get more details on those when he gives his budget address next month. But I'm still looking to see what else he wants to do with 4 more years in office.
Yeah, if he spends 4 more years in office, right? Because he might have those national ambitions. But that is a conversation we can have another day. Mawa Iqbal and Dan Petrella, thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.